good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis on the first floor of the Dayton's building. Come check us out. We support Native artists.
Well, it's good to be on the air again, and it's good to see Wendy and Gina and Ogama's in the background helping us out. I feel like the dream team's back together. I really appreciate you all. And looked like you guys had a great show last night. I was in Illinois doing, I don't even know what I was doing, but I was working for my other job. And so now I'm here tonight. And I'm just really happy to be here. I know there's a lot of things going on. We really put some tobacco down and have a silent silence for what happened in Brooklyn. And I know, Wendy, you are in New York, so it's frightening and scary as it is. We just want to acknowledge that and talk about people are people all across
the world. For people who don't know what happened this morning early, a subway from Brooklyn, New York, going into Manhattan, a suspect entered the subway put smoke out and fired a lot of shots. And there was another subway shooting. So it was the schools in the area were on lockdown and stay in place. I haven't had any updates. Earlier this morning, they said that no one died, but there were people in critical condition. So I'll have to check it out and see what happened earlier today. So.
Yeah,
our
definitely.
Thoughts and prayers and with the families.
Definitely. And I know Gina and her crew, and Gina's with Under the Earth, among other things, and it's a great water protector and has been doing a great job with us these last few weeks. I know she has other things going on, and I think she's going to talk a little bit about that and maybe some news, but I know what you did was really important today, and I'd like you to let our audience know. So welcome, Gina Peltier.
Hey, bonjour, everyone. Gina Peltier, Indigenakas, Makadewa, Makwendudum, Anishinaabe, Ndunjaba, Mikanakwaji, and Iniwag. I am Gina Peltier. I am a Black Bear Clan, and I am Anishinaabe from the Turnamountain Pemna Band of Chippewa. And yeah, I had quite the day today, guys. I got up early and started my travels. What was going on today is that we had three water protectors who had court today in Aiken County. And it's quite the case, you know, with most of us water protectors, we're nonviolent, unarmed, and all we're doing is just really trying to protect the water, especially from, you know, Enbridge's Line 3, and Enbridge's Line 3 is going through half of nearly North America's freshwater. And with them, with all the multiple frack outs and the aquifer breaches and all that stuff, it's really imperative, you know, and it shows a lot of examples of the fact that we didn't need that oil pipeline oil, and that it's already causing so much damage, you know, like with the frack out in the Mississippi River. Within a few weeks after that frack out, the fish started developing blisters on them. And then a few weeks after that, there was just no fish within the Mississippi River in that area. So back to today's court. So we had three water protectors who were in court today, and they're trying to get a motion to dismiss. So what happened is that they were helping with the ceremony down by the Mississippi River near the Welcome Water Protectors. center, and they have a log down there, a prayer lodge. And so these three water protectors, they were helpers. They were invited helpers of the ceremony. So they, you know, and with the helpers of the ceremony, they're the ones to run for water if water is needed or if anything else is needed. And especially down there, they needed the runners. But so while these three water protectors were going to get, I believe they were going to get water for the ceremony that was happening down by the lodge, they were arrested. And it's crazy because where they were arrested, it was on forest land, public forest land, state public forest land, and they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just helping within a ceremony. So it was quite crazy because when they were arrested, you know, they saw the cops and they went and they gave each other a hug. And then all of a sudden the cops are like, you're under arrest. And, you know, they were like, we're being arrested for hugging, like, yeah. And so it's just, it's crazy that, you know, the law enforcement went after and took time to arrest these nonviolent people who were performing in a ceremony. You know, we have our rights to perform right. ceremony, and where the ceremony was being performed was completely legal. So today after court, they were enacting their hug. And I'm just going to see if you guys can see this on my phone here.
Turn it to, oh, there it is. I can see it.
Aww. Yep. So like all three of them, they were igniting, the hug they were doing, you know, while they were being arrested. And one of the things that they're asking for dismissal is that, and they have video of the arrest, they're asking for dismissal based on the fact that they didn't give them a warning to leave because they were charged with trespass charges. And so in the video, it shows that the officers didn't even ask them to leave. They just automatically said, hey, you're arrested. You're under arrest. Freeze. Stop. You're under arrest, you know, without even asking them to leave. So in all actuality and the legality and what I got from being in court is that, if you're going to be charged with trespassing and you're not even asked to leave first, like you have to give someone a chance to voluntarily leave before you arrest them. But I'm really grateful that we have events like this to support our water protectors who still have court, because court is just as traumatizing as being arrested. I know with the education system, they do not prepare us at all for the legal battles that may come at us when we become adults. You know, even taxes can be scary for people nowadays. You know, we're not taught that in our education system. But I'm really grateful that I was able to go be in court. And I'm really grateful we do have these events to show support for our water protectors. And if you're unable to come to these and you want to show support, you just go to the Line3LegalFund.com/donate, and you can most definitely help, because we had water protectors who came from all over the world. You know, we even had water protectors from Austria, Germany. Mm-hmm. I know today one of the water protectors traveled all the way from Oregon. And so those, the funds that do go to the legal fund do help these water protectors travel back to be able to attend these court hearings, court appearances. So it's just, I'm really grateful we have that set up for our water protectors as well. Because, I mean, it's just traumatizing to think of a foreign corporation shoving a toxic oil pipeline through nearly half of North America's freshwater, let alone risking your freedom and your lives to protect clean water for everyone, and then being arrested for it. And I know a lot of us were violently arrested. I saw my sisters, you know, pulled out of ceremony and violently arrested. And, you know, that's why I brought up the 1978 Religious Freedom Act yesterday, you know, to show that, you know, we had to have a law passed just to allow us to practice our spirituality and our religion. And yet here we are still being, arrested for it. I mean, I was arrested for praying on a bridge over the Mississippi River. So it's just, and I was nonviolent and I wasn't doing anything wrong. And I'm really grateful that the court saw that. And, you know, my charges were dropped. So it's just, might as well just get all these other charges dropped against all the other water protectors.
Perfect. Thank you for that update. I was at a concert this weekend with Owen and for Water Protectors. Hey, we'll be right back with Misko. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
The show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're running a little bit out of time that first segment. I want to again say Pini Gigi, thank you, Gina, for that report. And it's really important to get the truth out there, what's happening up in the deep north. And I know we started this show because of Standing Rock. We would go to Standing Rock and see things like people getting arrested for no apparent reason and peaceful, prayerful protesters being arrested and shot with water cannons and all these things that were just weren't being reported. So we really appreciate you coming in here and speaking your truth and letting our allies know that this is still happening. And this is, you know, it's not 1492, it's 2022. But again, thanks again. You know, Wendy, this person we're going to have on here for a couple segments, we haven't had on for a couple for a while, and we really appreciate this. And whenever, you know, we think about, you know, are young ones, are they getting it, or what's going on with the young ones? I always think about this person and other people too that are young, that are really have grabbed on to their culture, and that things are looking great for the future. And I'm just really pleased to have Misko on here and speaking her truth. And we're going to have you on a couple segments, but we want you to promote what you're doing now. And I also want to talk to you a little bit about the teachings that you've learned over your short lifetime, too, maybe in the next segment. But why don't you report on what you're doing today and tonight? And then I got a few questions about what you're doing. And I really... Well, Wendy, you know, Misko's our manager at our store, too, so she does a lot of stuff.
She sure does. Misko, well, could you please introduce yourself in your native way?
Yeah, Buju Nindinue Maganiduk, Misko Gimiwan Indigena Kaz, Makwendo Dame Maswaganig Nindunjaba. Hello, my relatives. My name is Misko Gimiwan. I'm Bear Clan from Lac de Flambeau, Wisconsin. I'm 20 years old. I did 2 years at Augsburg, and then I took this year off to work, and so I've been working with Robert at the shop, I've also been working at the Indian Center and Indayung Emergency Youth Shelter. And then I'll be returning back to Augsburg in the fall. But yeah, a few years ago, back in 2018.
Wait a second, Miso, before you get any further, isn't it your birthday? Aren't you 21 now? Isn't it your birthday the last couple of days? We got to sing happy birthday to you, right? You're not 20 anymore.
Oh yeah, I'm 21. Oh my gosh, my birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday to you, dear Miko.
Nino Dubishkin. Thank you, Mikoich. But yeah, back in 2018, I went to the Minnesota Indian Education Association conference because they were having a Ojibwe and Dakota Quiz Bowl, and so I've been participating in the Quiz Bowls ever since middle school or high school, I can't remember, but it was my seventh year going. And then that year they were having their first powwow and first ambassador royalty contest, and so I just started dancing too that October. I finally made my own outfit with the help of the Sewing Society at the Indian Education. So I designed my outfit, made it just in time for the powwow and the quiz bowl. And then I ran like just on a whim. They were like, oh, they have an ambassador contest. You should run. I'm like, what? So I wrote a really quick essay, did my speech, and then we had to do two dances. And then I was just sitting there like, I don't know. I was like, man, I hope they call my name. But anyone who they call, you know, it's going to be good. And then they called my name and I just kind of blacked out. I was just like, what? And I don't remember anything. Like everything went by so fast. They were putting the crown on me. And so that's how I got involved with the Minnesota Indian Education Association is I've been representing them for the past 3.5 years. The first year they were going to do it. I had my giveaway. But then they were like, oh, we want you to run again. I was like, okay. And the second year, they're like, oh, it's COVID. So then I've just been representing them at PALS for going on almost, like, it's 3.5 years later. So I'm just glad to be passing it on to the next person.
And is that, when is that happening, that you're passing that on?
Yeah. So tomorrow, so the Minnesota Indian Education Conference is a conference about Indian education. And so they have youth programming where, like I said, they had the quiz bowls and they have the youth honoring powwow. So tomorrow the powwow is at 6 p.m. at, I think it's in Shakopee. I forgot the name, but it's at the Mystics New Cultural Event Center.
Right across from the casino. Yep.
Yeah. And so, from the morning of Wednesday until the powwow, and then I think Thursday and Friday, the conference, they're having a bunch of different speakers speaking about many different topics. I think online registration is closed, but I'm pretty sure if you come, you can register here at the event. And yeah, it's a long day of, different workshops and stuff for educators and things. I think Winona LaDuke has her own workshop too. And so I'd have to look at the itinerary again to remember everyone, but it's a long list. It's I think 3-day event or conference. And so.
So what I do my show with everybody here from 6 to 7. Would I be able to jump in my car and catch the end of the powwow, do you think, after 7 o'clock, drive out there? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so on the flyer, it says the powwow is from 6 to 9. And just also telling everyone out there to bring your youth who are dancing, because I believe they are having the ambassador contest tomorrow as well. And so, I don't know. I think you have to look on their website. It's the Minnesota Indian Education Association to look up the details, but it will be tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Yeah, definitely. And then I was hoping that you were going to wear your crown today, because you're going to have to give that or not wear that anymore, right? You're retiring after a couple of years. You were like Frank Delano Roosevelt, who was president for 4 terms. You've been, had that crown for 3.5 years, right?
I know. I felt really just like an elder stand, because, you know, for like usually for the ambassador, so the one that I, you know, won, it was for ages 14 to 17, I think. And so I got it right before I turned 18. So I got it when I was 17. And now here I am, like 21 years old, still representing. I felt just old next to all them little kids. But it was a really good experience. It helped me learn a lot and get introduced to a lot of new people coming into dancing, coming into the circle.
Yeah. And I know you know a lot of people that are roughly around your age and younger. You have to be excited, too, that the culture's alive and well, you know, right?
Yeah. So I was a part of a lot of youth programs here in the Twin Cities, you know, like the Indayang Chemical Dependency Prevention Program, mm-hmm. as well as Dream of Wild Health, where I learned about food sovereignty, my culture, my language, and just a bunch of different other youth programs. And so that's how I got connected to a lot of mentors, as well as other youth. And it just, I don't know, it put into me a lot of wanting to carry the language, carry the teachings, learn our ceremonial and cultural ways, because that's, like, they would always say, you're the next person who's going to be passing it on, you're going to be the next leader, and they just, like, put that in my brain, and then ever since, I've carried that with me, you know, I really am the, like, if I'm not the one passing these teachings on in the language, who is, you know? And so then I try to uplift as much other people to learn our ways, to learn dancing, to learn the language, because if it's not you, if it's not me, then who is it, you know?
Exactly. Wendy, we are so grateful to have Misko work with us on the store. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. She's done so much. She keeps things organized. She makes sure the schedule is set and there's somebody there at all mm-hmm. times. So it's really, you know, a relief for us that we don't have to take on that responsibility. So thank you very much, Misko. Mm-hmm. So when you had your crown and you were the ambassador for those years, what kind of things did you do?
Yeah, so what we do as an ambassador is just like travel to different powwows. I tried at my first year, I felt really bad because I tore my ACL. So I was actually out of dancing for 6 months. And so I was like, man, like, that was 6 months of me traveling and representing this crown. But yeah, so what I do is for ambassadors, once you go to a powwow and you know how they're doing the grand entry, usually the royalty are behind the veterans and behind the head dancers. And then we get to either the MC announces who we are and where we're from and what, like, who we're representing, or we have the opportunity ourselves to, you know, publicly speak in front of the whole powwow, introduce ourselves, where we're from, and who we're representing. So it's like, it's really cool because then it gives you like an opportunity to speak in front of everybody. And like, I don't know, it made me really proud because it's like, wow, like I'm out here just learning how to dance. I'm from the cities, you know, and I'm representing not only like myself, but like my family and my community that I came from. And so just to be able to travel, represent something bigger than myself is just, I don't know, made me really proud and grateful for, you know, all these opportunities that came from it.
You know, it's beautiful. We're going to have you on again. And I hope and I'm sure that people can feel the positive vibes coming from you, Misko, through the airwaves here. You are so sincere and so real, and we're so proud of you, and we're going to have you on another segment. That's how proud we are of you. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
This is Santita Jackson. Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, we'll bring you the best progressive talkers, thinkers, and doers on AM 950, Minnesota's progressive voice.
We use technology every day to help manage our lives. Why not use it to help manage your medications? St. Paul Corner Drug offers several free tools to keep you on track while taking your medications. Use our mobile app to quickly order a refill, or the MedsOnQ application, which turns your smartphone or tablet into your very own personal medication attendant. Email and text messaging options let you know when your medication is ready for pickup, making efficient use of your time. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and storms tonight with a low around 40, Wednesday partly cloudy with a high near 45, and Thursday cloudy and windy with a high around 38.
Don't waste hours figuring out how to pick up and assemble your own grill. Leave it to the specialists at Warner Stellion. Choose from the hottest new grills. Then don't pay a penny more for professional assembly, delivery, or Holloway. Shop now at WarnerStellion.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, we have Misko on, and I asked her to come on because she hasn't been on for a while, and it's great that she's going to be doing that stuff at Mystic the next 2 days. But I really, you know, I thought it was time maybe to bring up, she did a powerful thing for us a couple of years ago when we were first deep into COVID and we were doing symposiums on Sunday all over Turtle Island. And she came in there as with all these elders and powerful people across Turtle Island and spoke her truth and talked about, well, I'm going to let you talk about it, Misko. I'm not going to take any more time. Welcome back, Misko.
Hi. Yeah, so I think a few years ago, you know, when COVID first happened, I talked about the 7 teachings, and I grew up learning the 7 teachings in school because I went to the American Indian Magnet School, and I'm so grateful that they have programs to teach us the Dakota and Ojibwe languages. And in those classes, we also learned a lot about the culture and cultural teachings, you know, around the language. And so part of that was I learned a lot about the 7 teachings from the Ojibwe cultural teachings. And so, yeah, I related the seven teachings to COVID. And so I can just go over them again. But yeah, Mayingan is the wolf, and the wolf represents humility. Makwa is the bear, and the bear represents courage. Sabe is Bigfoot. Bigfoot represents honesty. Mikanak is the turtle. The turtle represents truth. Mushkode Bijiki is the buffalo, and the buffalo represents respect. Migazi is the eagle, and the eagle represents unconditional love for ourselves and others. And in our teachings, you know, there's a reason why all of these animals represent what they do. Because, you know, back in the day, our first teachers were the animals. We would watch them and how they interacted with each other, interacted with the environment. And so that's where we got a lot of our traditional teachings, was from learning from our environment around us. And so, yeah, when I talked about it in COVID, I related that to how we should treat others and how we should treat ourselves. Because, you know, in this world, that's how we're supposed to walk. These teachings are here for a reason. And so, you know, be humble, to love each other unconditionally, to respect each other, to speak your truth and be honest, and just be wise with your decisions. And so how I related it was just, you know, love each other, wear your mask, go get vaccinated, have respect for yourselves and respect for others, you know, because other people might be more at risk to, you know, the COVID disease than you might be. And so, you know, just, you know, have the courage to go get a vaccination. I was scared for the longest time to get a vaccination, but I'm like, you know what? It's not for myself, it's for others. And mm-hmm. so in this life, we take our traditional teachings and we can still use them today. You know, these teachings are here for a reason, and it's important for us to learn them and bring them back and, you know, use them in our daily lives and how we interact with each other and how we walk this road.
Yeah. And that's awesome too. And I really always key in about how thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago we've been here, that we keyed in on what our relatives with, you know, tails and hooves and wings and fins, what they did in order for us to be good and to be caring and to and learn how to live, right?
Yeah, I think personally, because like when I grew up, okay, so my grandma, she was in a boarding school, and my mom, like, we kind of grew up knowing religion, but then, you know, being in this school and then also meeting so many mentors and being able to go to ceremony and learn my culture ways and my cultural teachings, I kind of gained a broader perspective on, like, religion and culture. And so for me, being able to connect to my culture and my cultural teachings was really important for me, because it just helped me learn how to be in this lifetime. And so from learning multiple different teachings, like for me in this world, it's just to be good to one another, to be a good relative, to be good to those around us, to be good to, you know, the environment, and be grateful for everything. As much as you take, that's what you're supposed to give. And, you know, that's also teaching with the tobacco. If you're going to take mm-hmm. something from Mother Earth, you're going to have to give back to it first. But yeah,
that's right. Wendy, we really key on that, right? With, our sacred animals section, we should have probably done howling for wolves. So, Misko could have howled with us, right, Wen?
We could do it right now. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Good one, Wen.
Yeah, I love how all the different animals represent an important aspect of just being a human being. So it's really, really important, and it really rings, you know, I just love it. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, Miso, you really warm my heart, and you give me so much hope for the future. Like, you keep me fighting. I love it. Thank you so much, Miigwech.
Thank you.
Right. And that's what I was saying, Gina and Wendy. It's just like, it's always great to have Misko on and younger people on our show too, and just show them off in a sense of that the future looks good. Because as you know, Misko, you were talking a little bit about your mom, that generation and my generation, and because of boarding schools, lost a lot of the culture. Right, Misko?
Yeah.
It's radio. So, you can't shake your head at radio, Misko. It's
okay. No, I was going to say, I grew up the way I grew up, you know, and then I don't know how to explain it. It's like it wasn't until I was like a later teen or until I got to college and I started actually understanding what I was learning about boarding schools and about our history, where it all kind of made sense, you know, like what happened in the boarding schools and what happened way back when actually still affects me today. It affects my family. And like, I used to be really angry and I used to like take it out or, you know, just have a lot of resentment towards my family or like my mom. But then it wasn't until I started learning about why we're this way, you know, what happened to our people, what happened to the teachings that made our family somewhat dysfunctional. And then learning about it, it's just, you have to step back and be like, oh, wow, like there's a reason why our families are the way they are today. And we can't blame them. We just have to, you know, forgive them. And, you know, going back to our teachings, you know, you can't force someone to walk the red road. You can't force someone to learn the teachings, but you can be a leader and lead by example by learning the teachings yourself and trying, you know, like at first nobody wanted to go to Apollos with me and my family, or I had to drag them to come with me. But then now it's just like, oh, I want to go to Apollos with you. I want to go do this with you. Like, can you make me a skirt? You know, it's just like by actively learning and just learning about your history, learning why things are the way they are, and then using, you know, your culture teachings. Like for me, it's just, I had to learn to forgive. I had to, you know, use my sacred items to pray, you know, guide me through these hard times, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to make people open their eyes, or it's hard to change someone. But if you just live a certain way, maybe they might want to come with you. Maybe they might want to learn with you. And so, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I get it. It's like you're planting seeds. And one of the things that you said earlier too, I really believe that we're all spiritual beings. And when it affects our relatives and generations of what they went through, whether it's just getting their land stolen or just not being able to, I guess you guys talked about this yesterday, not being able to, practice our religion until 1978, you know, spiritual people fill that void with not good things sometimes. Sometimes it's alcohol, sometimes it's drugs. And to fill that spiritual hole, we're all looking to try to do that. And so that's what I really keyed on what you just said, Misko, about learning your ways.
And it's hard too. And like, forgiving people is hard, and accepting how they are is hard, but also like learning about what's happened to our people through like colonization and assimilation, it's really like, it's not their fault. I mean, yes, we're adults, we become adults and we become set in our ways, but you know, it's really like, I don't know, it's hard because it's hard not to, you don't want to blame them for the way that they grew up or the way that things happen, because we were stripped of our culture, because we're stripped of our language, because, you know, of these things that we didn't have. We, like, I don't know, there's four main aspects.
Yeah.
Which is like the ceremonial ways, our ties to our land, our ties to our language, and like our spirituality. I forgot. But they try to take every single one of those things away from us. And, you know, it's hard. Like a lot of our people have lost a sense of identity. And for me, I'm just grateful that, you know, I met so many people in the community to help strengthen my identity and like understand why things are the way they are. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've helped me a lot too. And I appreciate that shout out, but you know, I'm still working on that round dance, right? I still got to get look less goofy when I'm doing the round dance, right? You guys? Oh, Misko's shaking her head. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got video of me struggling out there on the round dance. And I think it was because of my knee. I'm not sure. I'm blaming it on that. But any last words, Misko? I mean, really, the comments we're getting here on Facebook Live and YouTube are just exactly what I was hoping for, is that, you know, you're a true young warrior. And I know there's others out there, but we know you. And it's so great to have you on the show. Do you have any Any last little comments before we let you go?
Yeah, I don't know. Just uplifting people to, you know, learn our culture. It's never too late to learn. You know, I didn't start dancing till I was 17. And then 18, 19, I felt like, dang, like I started super late. But then people are like, oh my gosh, you're so good. But I'm like, man, it's never too late to start learning your language, to start dancing, to start going to ceremony. You know, it's never too late to start learning. And then once you learn, you can pass it on to the next person, you know. And then just uplifting our youth. I want to thank all the mentors and everyone in our communities that I've had. And then just thank you guys so much for like the opportunity, you know, to work with you guys. To grow with you guys, because I don't know, I took this year off to do something productive and to feel connected. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to work with you guys, because it kind of like made me feel like I'm actually doing something. You know, if I'm not in school, I wanted to be doing something. And now I feel like I'm actually like learning and growing and doing something with you guys. So thank you so much.
Well, we love having you as the store manager, right, Wendy? And also,
oh, absolutely. Yes, definitely.
It's never too late to reconnect, and thank you so much, Misko, for coming on, and we'll probably see you tomorrow. All right, have a great day. All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wow, that's awesome.
I think we should do that every time we break.
Yeah. Well, you can do it in the middle, too, like you did, Wen. And just got to give a quick shout-out to Nancy Bolio. It's her birthday today, and that's why we had Misko on. But it was great to have Misko on, and I think it really just shows how the future looks good and bright. So really, really like that a lot.
Yeah, Misko's excellent. She's a really good, dynamic speaker, so we really appreciate her. And I love one of the things that she said, that if we take something from the earth, we replace it. You know, we just don't keep taking and taking and taking. And I said this to you before, Robert, and I really, truly believe it, that if the Native American people were just left for themselves, and there was no colonization in our history, that the United States would be a Garden of Eden. I really believe that.
Yeah, it was definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, it was for sure. So, Gina, it's great to have you on. And Wendy, it looks like you got that painting in the background done now that you're getting
over. Yeah, I did
over
another one COVID. With some you're with getting some, over. With some seagulls there. Yeah, I've been painting a lot in my retirement.
Seagulls mate for life, so I do believe that one on the right is me and the other one is you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, one's taken off. If you could see it real close.
Don't take
one's,
off
one. One's sitting there and the other one's taking off. So it's I say it's the male seagull. He's going to get some dinner. He's bringing it home. Bringing it home for wifey.
Exactly. Well, again, you know, glad you're feeling better. Hope, these long hauls, you take some zinc and not become a long hauler and be able to make some good vittles when you come back home and the vegan vittles. So I miss you and your cooking too.
Yeah, I miss you too. And yesterday I talked about my COVID experience. So it was quite the, and I am, I'm okay. I feel so good. I have a lot of energy. I walked a lot today. It was beautiful here, 67 degrees and sunny. So I was outside most of the day and it was really, fantastic. But, this is the sacred animal section. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure, to do that. And yeah, we want to give Nancy another shout out for her birthday. That's great. but today I was, looking at, facts about animal homelessness. Now Robert, we always talk about, please adopt, do not shop. There's a lot of statistics out there that we have. This one is a very sobering one. Only one out of every 10 dogs born. So only one out of every 10 dogs that are born will find a permanent home. That's just unbelievable to me. Mm-hmm. The main reasons animals are in shelters are because, of course, owners give them up or animal control finds them out on the street. I'm just going to talk a little bit about how Robert and I used to transport dogs from Indiana up to the Twin Cities, and the dogs came from all over the south of the United States. And a lot of these states don't really have, a lot of people there who are educated about the overpopulation of pets, so they don't get their animals neutered or spayed. So there's always a large population of dogs down south, and we would transport them from Eau Claire. They would come up from Indiana. We would meet them in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We were the seventh leg of the transport, right? That started in Indiana. And then we would bring the dogs and we would hand them off to their fosters. And I really felt that was such a wonderful thing that we did. Because of COVID, they stopped doing the transports, but I still am in touch with the woman who does, who runs the organization called Every Dog Counts Rescue Organization, and they are in Indiana, so she does wonderful work there.
I got to say something about that one. I think with our experience then, when our puppies passed and we looked to get other puppies, with our experience, I wanted to get an older dog. You remember that? I mean, because they were really, they kind of seemed like they knew what was happening with them. They were very chill and we could put a lot of them on our laps. And so it was just like, that's why we got older dogs, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not really sure whether I know for a fact that we would never get a puppy again. We would take care of older dogs or a dog, Yeah, definitely older dogs. And I know, I say this all the time, we've only had our dogs for 5 years, although Gracie's 13 and Wanda's 12. So they're older dogs. And, I don't know how long they're going to have. We're going to have them. Hopefully we'll have them for a really ripe old age. But I always feel like I want to try fostering dogs because that's really the only way that the dogs get out of the shelter, right? So they get out of the shelter, they go into rescue, and then a foster can have them. And then the foster will give the dog to the permanent family. I don't know if I can do that, but I do want to see if I can try and do that because really that's without the foster programs, we would have to euthanize so many dogs.
I think we'd be foster failures, though. We'd be having 10 dogs here.
I know, but we really have to keep a focus on trying not to do that. I'm not saying that I can. I'm talking myself into it. I don't know if I can.
I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I know. But approximately 7.6 million companion animals enter animal shelters nationwide every year. Of those, approximately 3.9 million dogs and 3.4 are cats. So we're talking about 7.6 million animals a year that enter the shelters in the United States.
That's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. And you know, it astonishes me to this day that with education and, you know, now that I know what I know, I would never buy a dog from a breeder. I would never go to a pet store and buy a dog because I'm educated and I know what those numbers look like. But there are still people, even after, you know, people come to me and say, Wendy, are there any, you know, are there any responsible breeders out there? And I said, well, let's put it this way. If they were really responsible, they wouldn't be putting more dogs on this planet when there's 7.6 million dogs in the shelter that go enter the shelters every year. So I can't call them responsible.
Great point.
How could they be responsible if they're contributing to this? You know, and I always say every person in the United States has to have at least four dogs each and seven cats each to end this homelessness of these animals. And still people go and buy, you know, a cockadoodle or a labradoodle or some type of doodle they want, you know.
A doodle. And, you know, we used to call them before they were designer dogs is we called them mutts when I was a kid.
Exactly,
now they're like
breeding. Right. They were mutts. I know.
It's always followed the money. It's always followed the money. People are making money off these poor sacred animals. And I do have to say, as you know, Wendy and Gina, we talk about dogs a lot, but you know what? There's a lot of famous, not famous, but there's a lot of medicine men and there's a lot of chiefs that have been named after dogs, you know, with Crow Dog and all that. So they are very sacred to us. Thank you so much. We'll be here tomorrow. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Free Leonard Peltier.